Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful we can feel God's presence here tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, he has been so wonderful and so good. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I got a phone call this morning about 9 or maybe a little earlier, and Brother Tim called and said he could come home. So, praise the Lord. I got ready as fast as I could and over to the care center about 10, and oh my, just this cold, bitter day with some snow on the ground. Went over there and, you know, we got a cart and got his stuff in my car, and oh my, you know, brought the car over to the front of the building, and he was able to get in, praise the Lord. And oh my, it's been quite a day. You know, he's over at Faith House right now. He's very much enjoying being back there. He played his music. Loved the new CDs that Brother Sam had made for him, and just wonderful to get back there in his own environment, in the chair. He's been able to sit in that chair all day. And praise the Lord, just rejoicing in the Lord. Well, I actually studied over there and helped with meals. Yeah, so praise the Lord. It's been really busy, but God has been good. And it's been quite an amazing thing. We said goodbye to Tim's roommate, Jeff, today, and just gave him a track and, you know, phone number and stuff. The Lord really talked to that man. You know, I think he was terribly backslidden when we first got into that room, and it was so uncomfortable. His language wasn't good, and he had the television on all the time at quite a loud volume, and it wasn't good. But it's been an amazing thing because little by little, we were able to talk to him. And on the 18th, the day that Tim was originally thinking he would go home, we got to talk to him, and he shared his background with us. And it's a wonder he's alive. Yeah, he was a young man just out of high school, maybe a year or two, and he was in an accident and was in a coma for 3 years, or excuse me, 3 months, I believe. And it's amazing that he got out of that, but, you know, they didn't think he'd ever walk after that. And by the grace of God, he was able to walk, and he did for 20 years. And then he ended up with a tumor, I believe, in his brain, and that had to be surgically removed. And there were some other problems, and currently he's pretty bedridden. He's very bedridden, actually. He can't move his feet and ankles of his own accord. But anyway, it was amazing because he had a terrible wound. Maybe it's a bed sore there and on his back. And it wasn't healing. I know one day when the doctors came in, you know, they were just saying, yeah, it doesn't look any better. And if it doesn't look better next week, we'll have to debride it and, you know, do some other things to help it along. Well, we prayed for him. And I had asked prayer for Jeff, too. And you know what? Lo and behold, the next Tuesday when the doctor came in and the nursing staff was around his bed, they said, hey, it's healing. It looks good. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, this has very much encouraged this man. He's got a Baptist background. And he knew some of the scripture because it seemed like after that incident, things started to change there. And he was listening when we prayed. And when we read scripture, I knew, he was listening. I could tell. And so anyway, it's been something. So today I was able to have some more words with him before I left, and I hope we get to see him again. He is actually going to be transferred to Montello. His family and friends are in that area, and it will be a little easier for him that way. But I just feel like the Lord brought him back to a relationship with him. And I know Baptists don't have all the fullness of the gospel and all, but I could feel that this man had some knowledge of God and that he had just, you know, gone his own way and gotten into, you know, whatever, the ways of the world. And I just know the Lord has done a work, and I really feel like that's one reason that God allowed Brother Tim to be transferred to this care center in Beaver Dam. It wasn't too easy there. You know, the room was, our part of the room was very small, didn't have a good chair to sit in. You know, the food was not very good at all, and just so many other things. And but, you know, the Lord used it, and there were some other things. There's some other people I was able to talk with, and in one occasion, a couple of the guys were using some really vulgar language, and Tim rebuked them. We were kind of in a lounge area at that moment, and, you know, they kind of made light of it, and, oh, you know, and then came up with a judge not, that you be not judged, and, you know, all that. But it was so amazing because about 2 days later, the one young man, and he's totally in a wheelchair, he's on oxygen. In fact, both men who were rather scorning were on oxygen and bound to a wheelchair. But anyway, 2 days later, this man, his name is Charlie, I believe, and he apologized to Tim and he apologized to me. And he said, I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was not right. And he apologized to both of us. And last Sunday, I saw him again. He hadn't been seeing him too much the last days. But Sunday, I saw him, and he wanted me to know. He said, I went to church today. He said, I went to Madison and went to church. And I thought, wow, praise the Lord. I don't know what church means exactly, but, you know, something stirred in his heart. I know that. And this other man who was in the wheelchair, and he kind of in cahoots with him on that occasion when the vulgar language was used, I actually had opportunity to pray with him too. And I don't know, there were others. So, you know, God used all of this, despite not being, you know, the prettiest place or the best place you could think of, but God had a plan and he had a purpose. And praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful that we were able to just do our little part while we were there. I'm not sure, we may have to go back over there at some point. I hope maybe some of those people will call or such. But anyway, God is in charge. And I'm so thankful that we serve such a wonderful God, such a compassionate God. Oh, yes, his compassions fail not. And I know there's so many out there who need to be stirred in their hearts, who need to get right with him. And so thankful that we could gather here. Oh, yes, in this place, gather online, be here together in the Spirit. And oh, yes, we can worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. And with his help, we're going to be talking about giving thanks unto the Lord here tonight. But here, oh yes, as we began, oh, praise the Lord. Let's have a little prayer here. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you be here in this place, in our very midst. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd use the scripture and everything else that you put in my heart to help us, Lord, as pilgrims and strangers in this world. Oh God, so needy, and oh God, so pathetic at times. But Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Oh God, that you would help us to remember what you have done for us, Lord, the great price you paid for our salvation, Lord, to give us a hope beyond this world. Oh God, the word of God that you opened up unto us, that you gave us eyes to see, oh Lord, ears that can hear, Lord, a mind that can comprehend. And we thank you, Jesus. We do praise you, Lord. Oh God, we do give thanks unto thee, Lord, for thy mercy is so great. Thy compassions, they fail not. Oh yes, they're new every morning. And we thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, Lord. I pray that you have your way, Lord. Talk to our hearts. You know every need, Lord Jesus. Be with Pam and her dad down there in Texas. Oh God, have your way there, Lord. Oh God, for you are God of miracles. Give strength, give hope. Oh Lord, you know how to move, Lord Jesus. Help your people, Lord. Oh God, encourage Penny and lift her up, Lord. Put her in heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh God, let that fatigue lose its hold, oh Lord, in her life, in Jesus' name. And God, you know every need, oh Lord, you know every burden. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help your people here tonight, Lord. Oh, deliver and set free. Oh God, let your spirit come down, oh Lord. Talk to those that are without, Lord. Talk to Sharon's mother, Ira, Lord. Oh God, cause her to be convicted in her heart, Lord. Somehow, Lord, that you turn the light on. Talk to Tim's mother, LaVon, Lord. Oh God, speak to her and help her, Lord. Oh God, you know our wayward children that need you. And oh God, I pray that you would talk to their hearts. Get a hold of them, Lord. Oh God, and use us as a light in this world. Oh God, a people that are called out, set apart for your plan and for your purpose. Oh God, I praise thee and thank thee in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go into the scripture now. I hope the Lord, and oh, thank God for his wonderful word that ministers to us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we are a blessed people. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a few scriptures here from Psalms 107 here as we begin here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. This whole chapter deals with individuals who got in trouble or rebelled and all those kind of things and had a great need for help. And yet we see how the mercy of the Lord helped them in their distress and in, oh yes, their troubles. And oh yes, they answered the cries of the hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. But it begins by telling us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And praise the Lord, you know, if we've been redeemed, if we've been brought out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, oh, praise the Lord, then yes, we have a testimony. We have a story to tell. We have something to share with others. And here, yes, we are admonished. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And yes, we were bound under the devil. And oh, yes, we were in great jeopardy. We were bound for the lake of fire. But praise the Lord, there is one that had mercy on us and brought us up out of that miry clay. Praise the Lord, and set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. Amen. Put a song in our heart that many shall hear. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, also be able, therefore, to give praises unto the Lord. Amen. So, yes, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, it's uttered here in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And this theme is repeated, oh yes, several times in this chapter. And oh yes, it is something, oh, that we need to consider. Because if we were delivered out of the hand of the enemy and, oh yes, out of the snares of the devil, praise the Lord, if he set us free, because the devil, He chains his people. Oh, yes, he condemns his people, you know. We become his prisoner if we turn our lives over to him and listen to his voice. But praise the Lord, there is one who can loosen those chains and deliver us out of that snare, out of that trap, out of the hand of the enemy, out of the hand of the devil. Praise the Lord. Yes, and so therefore, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm just going to read that portion of scripture, except I think I will go over to verse 31 where it repeats again. It says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Yes, I believe this comes forth four times in this chapter. And then it says in verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when we come forth, oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, what joy, oh, fills our soul when we think of the goodness of the Lord and, oh, what he has done for us. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there is reason for us to exalt him, and not only on our daily ventures, but oh yes, when we gather here together in the congregation, oh, that ability to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Oh my, to praise the Lord with an audible voice, to sing with all of our hearts. Oh yes, to clap our hands, to rejoice in our salvation. Oh, that's a wonderful privilege. Praise the Lord, oh, praise the Lord. We have so much to thank him for. Praise the Lord. And having said that, I want to turn now to Psalms 105. And if we could just call this message, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let's look here at Psalms 105. Praise the Lord. And here it starts with that thought. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop there. Because here in these first five verses here, we have quite a little list. Oh yes, of how we need to give glory to the Lord. And oh yes, it's quite a little process here that we can go in a progression, I would say. And you know, just think upon it. First of all, we're admonished to give thanks unto the Lord. And oh yes, it's so appropriate to give him thanks. We could never thank him enough. And then, oh yes, it talks about, secondly here, to call upon his name. And yes, we are so blessed to know the name of the Lord. Oh, during the old covenant times, people didn't know that name, or they were afraid to utter anything that, you know, resembled Jehovah. And, you know, here we are, and we can freely say the name Jesus. We know that there is power in that name. We know that there is authority in that name. And, oh, yes, we know one of these days that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And yes, that name is going to be adored. It's going to be worshiped. It's going to be praised. It may be too late in some cases. So sad, but oh yes, it's a wonderful thing that we can give the glory that's due unto his name. Praise the Lord. And yes, not only that, that saving and holy name that is holy and reverent, as it tells us in Psalms 111, verse 9. Oh, yes, but it says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And that portion of that verse is telling us the need to rejoice. Our hearts to rejoice in the Lord. Those of us that seek the Lord, oh yes, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, and again I say unto you, rejoice, as Philippians 4:4 tells us. And you know, praise the Lord. You know, there's reason that we can rejoice even in hardships, even in trials. There's a reason to rejoice because despite all the trials and afflictions of this world, our spirits have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, our hearts can rejoice, we that seek the Lord. And then we're also told that we need to seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And oh yes, there's a great need to seek God's face. I think so few people truly seek him. They might pray a little prayer now and then. They might utter a blessing before a meal or possibly pray before they go to bed. But there needs to be times in everyone's life when we are seeking him with all our hearts. Oh yes, because yes, he has the answers. And as we go through this world, we go through times when, you know, it's not so clear. And things get difficult, things get confusing. And oh yes, thank God we can go to one that has the answers. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And sometimes, you know, you're going to have to do a little bit of work here to gain the Lord's attention in such a way, you know, you might have to get a little desperate. You know, you might ask at the first, but then, oh my, there may be a greater need to seek him. And then, oh my, you know, after you seek, there's a time that you need to knock at that door. And he has promised that he's going to open it to those that knock. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. And he says, he continues in Matthew 7, verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, in Luke the 11th chapter, he says, portion of scripture, but just read it, reads just a little differently, and there it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, praise the Lord, the promised gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you seek, if you knock, oh yes, you're going to find. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a promise, isn't it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, for this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that's a promise, amen, that he would send forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, to those that ask, that seek, that knock. Praise the Lord, amen. And Jeremiah in chapter 29, oh yes, here he says, he's talking about how the Lord had promised that after 70 years were accomplished in Babylon, that God would visit them and they would be able to come back to their land. the Israelite people. Let's just read a little here. Jeremiah 29, and this is verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We seek him. He promised that we would find him when we search with all our hearts. And all that captivity, you know, the children of Israel, yes, they were caused. Yes, to go out of their land, the northern tribes into Assyria, well, and all other places wherever the Assyrians took them. And then, oh, yes, the Babylonians who took those from Judah and Benjamin away and carried them off to Babylon and even other places. And you know, they were in bondage. They were in captivity. But God had promised that he would bring them back. And you know, even the greater captivity is the captivity of sin. Oh, the devil who holds people by the neck, you could say, and doesn't let go. But praise the Lord looseneth the prisoner. Praise the Lord, and he sets the people free. Praise the Lord, just as it tells here in verse 14 here in Jeremiah, and I will turn away your captivity. Praise the Lord, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, out of those places of sin. He knows how to deliver us, how to set us free, how to establish us, oh, how to bring us back. Praise the Lord, to turn away the devil's captivity in which we all were in bondage at one time. Oh my, that's true. So yes, here in Psalms 105, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. And then beyond seeking, it tells us to remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Oh, praise the Lord. It's quite a list here, isn't it? And yes, if we've been brought out of sin, yes, the Lord put, a testimony in our hearts. It's one to share with others. Oh, yes, it's one, oh, to use as a testimony. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, we want to let the world know his wonders and oh, his judgments. Oh, yes, if we can help some to turn from the wrath of God, turn away from the wrath of God and be set free, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing indeed. So, yes, here, the list of items here that we need to consider, the need to give thanks. Oh, that need to call upon his name. Oh, that need to make known his deeds among the people. Yes, we all have that testimony to share, to tell that wonderful joy of salvation. And oh, just sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. So all of these, to sing, to give him praise, to give him glory, to talk of him. Yes, glory in his name. Rejoice in our salvation. Oh, yes, all the days of our life, we want to seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek his will. Seek his ways. Oh, yes, seek him with all our hearts. Amen. And then remember his marvelous works unto the children of men. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, not to forget how he brought us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we want to keep that close in mind. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it just seems like a little portion of scripture in Ephesians goes along with that, which we just read there from the psalm. And you see Ephesians here. I'm just going to turn to the fifth chapter for a portion of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to verse 15 here in Ephesians 5. And it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," and that means carefully, cautiously, you know, just considering the need that we be an example in this world. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And yes, we need to keep it at hand, the thought that we need to do the things that matter. It's so easy to get caught up in things that are very insignificant, you know, ways of entertainment or just lightness, and I guess a little bit of that maybe helps at times, but boy, you know, if you spend all your time doing that, then what time do you have for the Lord? And I just think the closer we get to the Lord, the more we want to just be doing his work and redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then verse 17 tells us, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," the will for his people. Yes, that he brought us up out of the miry clay and established us. And oh yes, we want to be a light in this world. We want to do his will. We want to live in victory. We want to overcome. Amen. We want to lead others to the Lord Jesus. And then it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Oh, praise the Lord. And that's so beautiful. We want the Spirit of God to fill our vessel, to fill our life. We want to be immersed in the Spirit of God so that when we go out, oh, it bursts out of us. The words of life, that they come out of us, that we radiate the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, that others can even feel it and know it. Oh, yes, you know, how pathetic it would be to be drunk with wine. And you know, I just, you know, I think I remarked, maybe that was last week, or, you know, or maybe the week before, that, you know, so many people, you know, they just talk so lightly about alcohol and, you know, are you going to the bar and all that kind of thing. Like, you know, it's such a norm. But not if we're a Christian, not if we're walking with the Lord. We don't want to be given over to any such spirit. You know, I just really felt for several of the individuals there that are so addicted to nicotine, and they're at the care center, I'm speaking again. And you know, even on a cold day like today with the wind just blowing, and oh man, I don't know, the wind chill factor had to be pretty low there. And anyway, you know, still people, and they can hardly move their wheelchairs in some case, going out there to get their smoke, and not just once, but you know, time and time again. Oh, thank God he saves us from that. Amen. We don't have to be addicted to nicotine or to the drugs of this world or any of that sort of thing. We could be free in our spirit because the Lord delivers. Amen. Yes, rather, we want the Spirit of God to fill our lives, our vessels. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And all the things that come out of our mouth will be a testimony, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Oh, he brought us up out of the miry clay. How can we not express it? How can we not tell it? How can we not share it when he has done such a great thing for us? And oh, yes, when we meditate upon the words of life, when we speak to ourselves in those psalms, you know, and in the hymns, and, you know, we quote them, and then we sing them, and, you know, we focus on them. Praise the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. That's how we overcome. Praise the Lord. And then it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, yes, you know, we are admonished, even in times of trouble, in times of despair, that we need to give thanks unto the Lord. That, you know, even when we don't know what is going on, well, you know, there's such a value in being able to have a thankful heart. It tells us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Praise the Lord. Amen. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus, or ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Oh, God knows every detail. And oh, yes, we can't hide it from God. But oh, thank God, and oh, we can surrender our lives over to him. And oh, by his grace and mercy, live in accord with his word. And yes, that precious saving name of the Lord Jesus. We also are admonished in that 3rd chapter of Colossians, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And you know, that means if you can't do it in the name of the Lord, you better not do it. If it's something on the fringe, you know, something, you know, that might be of doubt in your heart and spirit, and then, you know, you better think. If you can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, then I don't think you better do it at all. And of course, you know, just everything we do, we need to do it using that name. And then, yes, even the work of baptism, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that is to be done in the saving name of the Lord Jesus. And yes, with that, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise God. But oh, he has done a work in us. And we are so privileged to be benefactors of his grace and mercy. There's so many out there that just don't know. But oh, yes, we have a wonderful privilege in the Lord. And oh, yes, we have another and a great cause to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go on here in Psalms 105 here tonight. We went through that list of characteristics, things to do, I guess verbs in this case, that we need to do in regard to our God. So let's just continue here in this chapter. It says in verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham in his oath unto Isaac, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And of course, that fulfillment to that covenant that he made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, if we are the children of the Lord, if we have come to the Lord and believed and obeyed the gospel, then praise the Lord, that blessing of Abraham is also upon us. Let's just go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, for a few verses here tonight. This is such a wonderful blessing to all of us. And I'm not sure, you know, that everyone is quite aware of this. But here it tells us, Galatians chapter 3, and of course, Paul was a little upset with the church at Galatia because it seemed that they wanted to go back into some Judaisms, and they had seemed to have forgotten, you know, the work of grace that God had done in their hearts. And, you know, they were, for the most part, they had not been Jews to start with, but, you know, they were, you know, people that had been heathen in their past. But God mercifully reached down and saved them. So it tells us, in verse 9 here of Galatians, the third chapter, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And you know, we know that under the law, they were expected to keep all of it. And if they missed a portion of it, if they missed a step of it, then they're under a curse. It was very hard to keep. Amen. But then it goes on. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." Yes, as it tells us in Habakkuk, the second chapter, in verse 4. "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And yes, that's brought out in Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, at the very end, verses 22 and 23. There, and you know, it's so amazing. This was stipulated under the law. But, you know, yet Jesus Christ took that curse upon himself to redeem us. And that's a wonderful thing. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And oh, the reason he took that curse, it tells us in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, praise the Lord, so we could be included in the plan of God. Amen, praise the Lord. And then he goes on, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto." And that was very important under the law. It was confirmed, it was established, and you know, they were warned not to disannul any parts of it. In other words, take away from it or to add thereto. And then it goes on. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and his seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So that promise that was given to Abraham and to his seed all pertained to the blessing of Jesus Christ that would come forth. Oh, praise the Lord, to redeem us, to save us from our sins, so that we could be one people. Oh, yes, whether we be Jew or Greek, amen. Salvation is available, thank God. And then it goes on, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." And yes, you know, it had to be declared. So the law was given to Moses. So they had all the specifics, all the details. It was written black and white, you could say, and there it was, you know, so they knew exactly what it declared. And the reason for it was, yes, because of the transgressions, and you know, it needed to be clarified so that, you know, they could understand the trouble of sin, the end of sin, and all of that. And, you know, so the law came in to bring forth the details that were needed that they might live by it. But oh my, it was imperfect, wasn't it? And oh yes, God had ordained a greater one that should come forth out of the seed of Abraham, and that is Jesus Christ. So it says, verse 19 again, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, and that's talking to Jesus Christ, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And how did he mediate? Oh, yes, he put on flesh to come to this world as the Son of God. Oh, yes, that he might stand on this earth and bring us back to God. Amen, because we were lost, we were undone, we were in trouble, we needed help. And yes, he put on flesh so he could come as a mediator between God and man. Praise the Lord. So he says, no, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But you see, it wasn't sufficient. You know, they had to bring forth the blood of bulls and goats, you know, to obtain for sin. And it was incomplete, you know. The next breath or the next day, you know, they committed sin, then it was starting all over again. But God had a plan, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, a plan that would bring forth righteousness, not our own righteousness, but oh, the righteousness which is of God, that only the blood of Jesus Christ could bring forth. Praise the Lord, he spilled his blood that we might be clothed in his righteousness. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Yes, all of us in the same predicament, under that curse of sin. And oh yes, all of us needing a savior, no matter what our background or our pedigree was. So it says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. You see, there's a little conflict there. The law was physical and things that you had to do. And you know, the new covenant comes forth with faith, that we might believe and therefore obey and let the Lord change us and make us what we ought to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. To make a new person out of us. But oh, that's faith that begins to work in our hearts, that faith that brings us to that point of repentance. Oh, yes, so that we can believe and turn our hearts over. And, you know, before we had faith, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So yes, there had to be that faith that came into our life to, you know, help us to realize that we could call upon the name of the Lord and find salvation. And that wasn't the same availability under the law. You know, it was something that would later be revealed, it tells us. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Praise the Lord. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and it explains, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And praise the Lord, that's another reason we must take his name upon us when we go into the waters of baptism, because yes, we are literally being baptized into Christ and therefore have put on Christ. And it explains in the kingdom of God, this new covenant plan, oh yes, that they didn't know until it was revealed. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29 explains, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, what a beautiful thing, that promise that was given to Abraham way back those many years ago now is applied to the child of God. Praise the Lord that we could also be included in the plan of God and be his children. Oh, it's a beautiful gift, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So continuing here in Psalms 105, verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You know, it's a very amazing story how he kept his people. And just to give an example, let's turn for a moment here to Genesis chapter 26. And here, you know, again, the wonderful things that are in God's word, but here it is. We're talking about the time of Isaac in this case. And it tells us in the very first verse, Genesis chapter 26, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And yes, as we are reading in Galatians, that third chapter, we realize, yes, that seed, yes, it went forth to Jesus Christ. And then, who would be the seed of Jesus Christ? And that's his people, isn't it? The called forth ones, those that he has redeemed, you and I, praise the Lord, his children. Oh, yes, the spiritual blessing, oh, of eternal life that he gave us, oh, by taking our place on the cross and shedding his blood. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, that promise had been given unto Abraham. And you know, Abraham is such a remarkable man. You know, the 12th chapter of Genesis, when God called him out, it says in the first verse of Genesis 12, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Praise the Lord. And Abraham listened. Oh my, he left. He left. It said, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Praise the Lord. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all his substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So yes, God gave Abram, who became Abraham, that precious promise and appeared to him on several occasions. And oh yes, now God is appearing here in the 26th chapter of Genesis to Isaac, his son, praise the Lord. And yes, in this case, Abraham went down into Egypt in a time of famine. But here, Isaac is specifically instructed not to go into Egypt, but to dwell there in the land of the Philistines at that point. And yet, the promises of God would prevail. And it's pretty amazing if we can continue here in this 26th chapter. God is restating his promise that he made to Abraham in the fourth verse, actually third and fourth verse, and fifth verse. So it tells us in verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Praise the Lord. Yes, that blessing would come through Christ Jesus. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And it tells us, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar here, he's in Philistine country. And, you know, there's a similarity also there. It's also in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis with Abraham. But here, you know, little bit of caution seems to come upon Isaac, and you know, he wants to say of his wife that she is his sister and not specifically his wife, because he's afraid that, you know, they'll kill him because Rebecca was a beautiful woman, and you know, he felt like, you know, somebody would try to take her and, you know, eliminate him, and whatever all was going through his mind. I'd just be guessing, of course. So it says, verse 7, and the man of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife. Thus said he, the man of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. So there was some romance going on there, I could say. And, you know, it came to Abimelech's mind, therefore, this woman is not his sister, but his wife. And in fact, they were cousins, so they used to, you know, call cousins even sisters back in time of old, so it was, you know, kind of true, but, you know, it wasn't the full truth, you could say. So it tells us in verse 9, and this is interesting, and Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us. And look at this, you know, it says, and Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. You see the blessing of the Lord in a very great way. And oh yes, the Lord was blessing Isaac. It tells us in verse 12 and continuing. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art mightier than we. So at that point, and this is interesting because, you know, in the book of Exodus, we see again the Pharaohs are, you know, concerned that Israel has grown to such a state and is so blessed that they are greater than the Egyptians. So it tells us, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found their well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And you know, they weren't going to be contentious, Isaac and his men. Note, you know, they let it go here in verse 20. And then so we see in verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also. So again, they dig another well, and here come the Philistines, the men of Gerar, and you know, they want that one too. And so Isaac called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And I just want to read this next passage because it just shows us the blessings of the Lord and how, despite things that can be contrary and people that can be confusing and contrary and even give us hard times, and you know, I mean, that had to be hard. You know, digging a well would not be easy work. So, you know, if you dug a well and, you know, got the water flowing and it was beautiful, springing water, oh, delicious, wonderful water, and then, you know, the others come and claim it. Oh, that's our land. That's our water, you know, and so on. And then it happens a second time. And then finally, the third time, they were able to dig and there wasn't a controversy over it. But, you know, these would not be easy things. But we notice the spirit of Isaac, and you know, he didn't want to be a troublemaker. So he's going forward. And, you know, after this incident, finally the third well is dug, and now he can call it Rehoboth. For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He tells us, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Praise the Lord. You can see the Lord's blessings now. Praise the Lord. And you know, those well digging events, they were a test. Life gets a little bit, you know, difficult at times, you know, and you can't justify it in our minds, you know, and it seems like, wow, this should never be, and you know, but you know, there's something about holding our peace. You know, the Lord does test us from time to time to just see, you know, how we're going to get through this, how we're going to deal with this trouble. But praise the Lord, Isaac got through it, and you know, and then that well, that he went well and in no conflict over, and then God coming there at Beersheba to speak to him and reassure him, I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And praise the Lord, that must have been so reassuring at that moment. You know, we all need encouragements at times. You know, sometimes it gets pretty heavy, and sometimes we don't understand what's going on. It just doesn't seem to add up. It doesn't make sense, and we don't know how to think. And yet, oh my, praise the Lord, there is a God that has reasons beyond that which we would ever know. And oh yes, if we can just go through it and have the right heart and attitude, you can see the blessings that come forth, because yeah, God will come forth. And yes, you know, here he appeared to Isaac after the conflict to reassure him that he is the God of Abraham, thy father, and telling him not to fear, for I am with thee. Oh, that is so beautiful. If the Lord is on our side, then, you know, whom shall we fear? You know, if he's our strength, if he is our song, oh my, if he's walking with us, then, oh my, you know, who's going to give us trouble? Or they might try, but, you know, there's going to be victory in Jesus Christ, because he is with us, and he's going to make a way, even when it seems to have gone quite wrong. So there he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Oh, all those things that were going forth, as you know, he was encouraged by the Lord, and then building an altar and calling upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there they digged a well. Praise God. But I want you to see these few other little details here. Yes. Here in this chapter, it tells us here, you know, the Philistines, Abimelech, you know, they'd give them a little trouble. And, you know, when he came to that point that, you know, Abimelech could see that God was mightily blessing these few people, then, you know, he was afraid of them. And he told them to go away, you know, don't stay with us any longer. In other words, paraphrasing here. But here we see they observed how God was with Isaac and his people. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? And here's what the Philistines are going to say to him. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there now be an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. They rose up betimes in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. So what I see here is, you know, oh my, holding on to God, holding on to the ways that are right, doing the things that are becoming to God, and, oh yes, of his will. It brings forth blessing. And oh yes, the enemy could see the blessing of the Lord, or, you know, and they weren't violent in that sense toward them, Abimelech and his people, but, you know, they had gotten a little bit nasty, you know, not allowing them to those wells that they dug up and so on, telling them to go away and all this and that, you know, and it got a little bit testy between them. But you see, Abimelech, he saw that these people, Isaac and his folks, were blessed of the Lord. And so they wanted to be sure that they were on Isaac's side. They didn't want, you know, to be any trouble. They didn't want, you know, a war to intervene between them, you know, or to result because of conflict. But praise the Lord, you know, you see how God blesses his people. And, you know, even kings that, you know, were reproved for the sake of God's chosen people. Amen. Going back to Psalms 105, and there's so much in this psalm. I think I have a lot more to say, hopefully, by the grace of God. But, you know, it goes on to talk about others that followed, including, you know, the time of Moses and then into Joseph. And I just see so many points that I would like to share. But, you know, just repeating here, here what it says, here what we just read here, Psalms 105. Verse 10, and confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another. And you know, yeah, Abraham was a stranger in the land. He came alone with his, you know, people, his servants and wife and nephew, but, you know, very small in reality. So yes, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God has a love for his people. Oh, yes, we might go through some hard times, but the Lord has a plan. He has a purpose. It might be a test. And by the grace of God, if we can get through it, we can pass, he's going to bless us. There's going to be, oh my, great things that come forth from it. And of course, even beyond this world, even if we lose everything in this world, even if we die for the cause of Christ, there's a blessing so beyond this world. The things that God has reserved for them that love him. Oh, praise the Lord, that live for him, that overcome this old world. And oh, praise the Lord, we are a privileged people. We are so blessed. And for sure, just thinking of the goodness of the Lord and what he's done for us, we want to give him thanks. We want to give him appreciation for that which he has done for us. It tells us in Psalms 50, verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Psalms 50, verse 23. Oh, yes, there's a reason to give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He has done so much for us. Oh, yes, we want to call upon his name. We want to make known his deeds among the people. Oh, we want to sing unto him, praise his name all through psalms, talking of his wondrous work. Oh, giving glory to that holy name and rejoicing in our salvation. Oh, yes, seeking the Lord in his strength, seeking his face evermore. And yes, oh, yes, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Let's remember his marvelous works, the things that he has done in our lives that have changed us, that put us on the course that leads to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, we could do nothing of ourselves. Oh, my, we were so helpless. But he called us. He stirred us within. He made his plan known unto us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so let's remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we give thanks unto thee. We thank you for what you have done for us. Oh, God, that you called us out of the world and into the marvelous light. Oh, God, into thy kingdom, Lord. And we have great reason to praise thee, to worship thee, to meditate upon thee. Oh, yes, to talk of thy wondrous works, to sing unto thee, Lord. Oh, yes, God, to give thanks. Oh, glory unto your holy name. Praise the Lord, to rejoice in our salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. We do praise you, Jesus. We do worship you, Lord. We ask, oh, Lord, that you work in our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us to have that right spirit, that thankful heart. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, help us to remember the wonderful works, the marvelous works that you have done for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus book to number 177 and sing Just Want to Tell You. Praise God. 177. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home, Lord, to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you I'm thankful. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.